I'm Maggie.
And I'm Nicole. Welcome to the DAC Dyslexia and Coffee podcast. We're so happy you could join us. We're both moms and dyslexia interventionists who want to talk about our students and children, what dyslexia is, how it affects our kids, strategies to help, and topics related to other learning disabilities will also be covered in this podcast. Parents are not alone, and we want to give voice to the concerns and struggles we are all having. This is a safe place to learn about how to help our children grow and succeed in school and the world. Grab a cup of coffee and enjoy the conversation.
Hi, everybody. So we're going to start, like we always do, with the concept of the week. So the concept of the week is our opportunity as practitioners to kind of pull back the curtain a little bit and let you all into an intervention session. So we like to teach about topics that we would be teaching to our students. Today's topic is assistive technology. So assistive technology is any tool, device, software, or system that helps individuals with disabilities perform a task that might otherwise be difficult or impossible. I think that this term gets misunderstood a lot.
I agree.
Assistive technology is any device. This can range from very low-tech or no-tech options to very advanced and expensive devices. This includes anything from adaptive tools like pencil grips or like a highlighting bookmark, all the way up to sophisticated communication devices or advanced mobility kind of standards and all of that. Everything falls under that assistive technology umbrella. And if we really think about it, most of us, and I will argue all of us, use some kind of assistive technology throughout our daily life, right?
I would agree, because how many times do you do speech-to-text when you're texting while you drive?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, GPS on our phone and just, I mean, even little things, right? If you're using any tool or device, whether that has anything to do with like electronic device or not, you are using assistive technology. If you're drawing a line and you're using a straight edge, you are using assistive technology.
So it's a very broad definition.
It is a very broad.
It covers
broad.
A lot of different things.
It does. And I think it does get roped into our topic today,
yes,
which is smart devices. But I think that when people hear assistive technology, they go straight to smart devices.
Correct.
And they are not the same thing. Smart devices would be included under the assistive technology umbrella, but the umbrella is much, much bigger than that.
Correct. So episode 51 is about smart devices. Here
Everybody
we go.
Take a deep breath. This is a very divisive topic.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it can.
So smart devices in kids with ADHD and dyslexia. Using technology to support learning and focus. There's lots of debate. This is a hot topic.
This is a hot topic. And we have some hot takes.
We do.
We have some hot takes, maybe a warm take or two.
Yep.
But we have some thoughts.
We do. So why this matters? Smart devices like phones, tablets, watches, smart speakers, they're part of our everyday life now. Like, you can't go anywhere and not have something in front of you. Or something around you.
Yes. Which I have thoughts on that as well. But that is a different episode.
That's a different episode, yes. And for children with ADHD or dyslexia, these can be really powerful learning tools, or they can be major distractions, depending on how they're used.
Absolutely. We'll kind of start with benefits. Okay, so mm-hmm. We'll start with some positive things. Benefits for kids with ADHD and dyslexia, that assistive technology, that text-to-speech for reading assignments, speech-to-text for writing, right, without the added stress of the spelling, you know, and dyslexia-friendly fonts and adjustable text size. I'm a person who there is no way I would have gotten through school at all without some amount of assistive technology. Being able to adjust the font, adjust the size, adjust the screen brightness, all of that. There's no way. I would absolutely not have made it to the level that I did without assistive technology. And I don't think I'm alone.
Correct. I would agree.
You know, these tools absolutely can be critical. And they can be used for organization and reminders as well.
Right. You know, there's calendar apps and visual timers for time management.
You know, kids who use a smart watch, they can put those timers on their watch and it can buzz.
Yep.
Right. So there's can be like a gentle mm-hmm. reminder. That can be a very useful tool.
Correct. Mm-hmm. I agree. And then you come to the learning apps, like phonics-based reading games. There's a whole bunch of those out there. ABC Mouse, I think, is like mm-hmm. the big one right now,
yep.
right?
And ABC Mouse is a pretty good one.
Yep.
You know, there are your mileage may vary, right? Some right. of those programs are pretty good. Some of them I would absolutely not recommend.
Correct.
Maybe that's a topic for a different time.
It's true. Yeah.
You know, there are even apps that are about executive functioning, right? So right. there's like some kind of coaching tools and some kind of gentle push reminders. Mm-hmm. You know, interactive math apps as well. There yeah. are some really positive and cool learning games. There are some that my mom found one recently for Aiden that's like, it's a Lego app.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and you do build kind of with the instructions, so it incorporates like their instructions, and then it gives you some blocks, and it's a little bit, it's kind of cool. It's pretty okay. cool. He's been experimenting with it, and it's kind of neat. It's like building with Legos, but you're doing it on an iPad.
Interesting.
And you can kind of adapt thing. It's pretty cool. And I do think it is.
And you don't step on
them. And you don't step on them. Yes. Please don't hear that I'm advocating replacing your Legos.
No, definitely not. That's not what we're saying.
But if you save the bottom of your foot, hey.
Or like if you're in a place where you can't have a bunch of Legos.
Exactly.
That might be a good option.
That might be a good option. And it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So there are some very cool learning things happening through Correct. Technology.
So I think we need to go to the challenges and pitfalls of smart devices.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
Yes, we do.
So I think one of the big ones is distraction, right?
Like yes.
social media, games, videos, things that distract you from other things that you should be doing.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, and and our kids are, I mean, brilliant, right?
Right.
So they are just masters at, oh, but I need my phone for the calendar because I was looking at this one thing. And you're like, no, you were not.
No. Nope. Nope. No, you weren't.
You were not. You know, and what's concerning is the studies about the way our phones distract us, that even having it like put away in a backpack in a classroom, it's not enough. It's not enough distance for our brain to recognize that it's not an option. And it can actually even distract us more than if it's actually out.
That's interesting.
Yes.
That's an interesting concept.
It's concerning to the nth degree.
Right.
You know, and those are studies with late teenagers, early adults. So I can only imagine what it's doing to a younger person's brain.
Correct. And I think, you know, the whole social media thing is also dangerous.
Extremely.
You know, we don't even allow our kids on social media.
As you should not.
And but some parents, they do, and they still get it at school sometimes because they see it over their...
see it over their friend's shoulders.
Yes, or their friends are talking about it, or...
it is a really scary world, and as a parent, it's not enough. I mean, my house too, and I will, full disclosure to listeners, I will say my kids do not have devices, period. The iPad app that we're talking about, that is my mom's iPad that every once in a blue moon, if he earns it, he can play like 15 minutes on. and I mean, literally like once a month.
Yeah.
Other than that, no. We do.
And in our house, we have devices due to certain reasons.
Yep.
But they're controlled devices.
Yes.
They're very controlled on what they can get on, what they can do.
Yep.
And we approve everything that they can see. It alerts us when things are not appropriate. So, I mean, I think every family makes that decision for themselves.
Absolutely.
And there's reasons you have it or not.
And it's what's really hard is we are a family who know no devices, right? That does not mean my kids are not getting that content. And as a parent, there has to be that awareness. Like, yes, mm-hmm. it's not happening in front of my eyeballs.
Right.
But it is happening. And if you think it's not, like, guys, we need to really collectively have a chat here. It is happening. My children have seen very inappropriate content.
On the bus, right?
On the bus.
Yeah.
Yeah, on the bus. And, yeah, it even if you are keeping it out of your own home, that doesn't mean your kids aren't seeing it.
Correct.
You know, and the extra concerning, I was literally just reading yesterday that, you know, the pornography on phones and kids are being exposed to, more than 50% of 12-year-olds report having witnessed pornography on a friend's phone.
Ew.
Yeah. And we're not talking about dirty magazines that you found under your garage, right?
Right.
No, these are very explicit, moving images, really honestly scary things.
Wow.
Yeah. So that is really scary, and that is a really, really dangerous world.
Mm-hmm. And then they have all those things that they, what are they called? Like they... Oh, try this.
Yes.
And then
yes.
Comes a prank or something. And
yes.
It's very dangerous things.
It's very dangerous things. And the real truth of it is our kids with ADHD or executive functioning issues are at so much higher risk because the impulse control is not there.
Correct.
So their space between somebody said to do this and I'm just going to go do it is
very
like
short.
Zero. they don't stop and go,
maybe I should think that through first.
Exactly.
That doesn't happen.
And that ADHD brain, it craves novelty.
Right.
So that is why, and I'll full on say, I have no respect for TikTok, zero, because it's that kind of very short form, blink and you miss it. It does not have a beginning, middle, and end.
True.
It is constant, just feeding new thing, new thing, new thing, new thing.
Yep.
And an ADHD brain really cannot separate from that.
Right. And they get overstimulated.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You know. And then it's an escape for them, too.
Correct.
As soon as things start to get uncomfortable, they just pull out their phone. Oh, I'm waiting in line at the grocery store. I'm bored. Boom. Pull out my phone.
Yep.
that is really damaging to a developmental standpoint. We're not going to be able to flex that muscle if we're not forcing the issue.
Correct. Like you said, it's also avoidance. You escaped hard tasks with easy entertainment. And sleep disruption is a big thing. You know, that blue light before bedtime, it really affects your rest.
Big time. Big time. And it doesn't have to be a smart device doing that.
Correct.
We went through a huge reset in our house. I think I still told this story on the podcast where we let my son have like a, it was kind of neat. It was like a star projector kind of thing in his room for a while. And he was not sleeping. And it was awful. And it took us a long time to actually figure out what the root cause was. And yeah, that's extremely harmful for ADHD brains, especially. And I know better, but here we are.
So what do we do to set up our children for success?
Yes. So if your house, if in your house and with your school, and we decide we're moving forward using smart devices, we really need to define the purpose. So why does your student have the device? What is it for?
Like homework? Is it for organization? Is it for them to help with reading or writing?
Yeah. What is the use of this tool? And set those boundaries early, before they even have the device.
Before you have the device.
Yeah. Correct. It's not when that device is already in their hot little hand.
Correct.
This really does need to be a pretty careful decision. And if you've already opened that door, that doesn't mean it's too late. You are the parent. You can yank it back and say, hey, we're going to do this over.
Correct.
And it is worth doing. But kind of create some zones, right? If your kids are expected to do homework in a certain area, then that is an area they can have that smartphone or whatever device they're using, not in the bedroom. No, doesn't go there. And not at night, you know, letting your kids sleep with their cell phone also does not lead to good outcomes.
And use parental controls as guardrails, like, and not punishment, right?
Yes. Yes, you're not saying, I have the Spark app because you're in trouble. It's, I'm the parent and I'm the sturdy presence in your life. And I do want, if you have questions, when and if you have questions, I am your person.
Correct.
You will filter your questions through me. I know you will be exposed to things that I don't approve of, but I am your safe landing pad here.
Correct. And then obviously teach the student how to use the tool. So like if they need to use a reminder or a timer or any of the accessibility things in the device, they need to know how to use that.
Yes. This is a personal pet peeve of mine. This is something I've seen so many times that it's written in an IEP that a kid's get text-to-speech. And then I meet with the kid and I'm like, okay, are you using your text-to-speech? No. And I said, oh, okay, well, why not? I don't know how to turn it on. oh my goodness. Or I don't know when I'm allowed to use that. I don't know where to go. If I need a setting where I'm talking into my phone, well, the classroom where everyone else is not the appropriate setting for that. Right. So where do I go to actually use that tool?
Correct.
We need to close that gap. Especially if it's in an IEP or a 504 plan, we need to close that gap. They need to actually know how to use it.
So another good thing to do is to pair tech with non-tech. So for example, if they're listening text to speech, then they're following along with a printed copy or a printed book, so that they're also seeing the words in front of them or the information.
Yeah, exactly. So if they're using smart technology, great. Mm-hmm. But having them always know, right? If they're using a calendar app to keep track of their schedule, that's great. Mm-hmm. I also use a calendar app to keep track of my schedule.
Me too.
Thank goodness I do. But I have somewhat of a backup. It is less sophisticated, but mm-hmm. I have somewhat of a backup of, okay, if that goes down, what do I need to do?
Right.
We need to also teach that as a skill. Mm-hmm. You know, technology can and will fail.
That is very true. Especially if I'm around.
Yeah. Can and will. So, okay, what is our backup plan? If this does not work, what is our backup plan? We need to have an offline backup plan. You know, some really examples, right, that are kind of age appropriate. A lot of, in my professional opinion, we should really not be talking about smart devices at all as a general rule until kids are at least 12. This is not, when we're talking younger than that, the occasional iPad, the occasional this, the occasional that, that's one thing. But as far as like, this is your dedicated device that you are getting to help you with these things, developmentally, they're not ready. They're absolutely not ready. Most adults are not ready. Let's be real. How many adults do we know, raising my hand here, that absolutely cannot handle their device without it distracting them and without it being really more of a hindrance to their day? So something like smartwatch reminders, right? Those can be great. Mm-hmm. You know, a smartwatch for kids can be a really useful tool if they are using it for just that.
Right.
You know.
So an example, like a 12-year-old with ADHD and dyslexia, they have a smartwatch that at 7:45, it goes off and they know to pack their backpack. And then at 8:05, they know they have to head to the bus. And this just helps make those morning transitions a little smoother.
Mm-hmm. You know, in our house, we do have like set timers for things that my kids know what they mean. And it also does do that very magical parenting thing of like, well, the timer said it was time to go. So
yeah, that's very magical.
It is magical. Like, the timer said that. So mm-hmm. That's what time it is.
Yes, we use the Alexa in that way.
Mm-hmm.
She has a lot of, she tells us when it's time to leave, yeah. When to take medicine, when to go to bed.
It's great. It can be an amazing tool.
If used correctly.
If used correctly, yeah. And it doesn't have to be on a personal smartwatch.
Right.
You know, parents can incorporate these things into their daily routine that is not in the way of each kid has their personal device.
Correct. Like we use the Alexa, which is in our kitchen.
Yep, absolutely. You know, we use timers that are set for different things. And I use the timer on my phone. You know, I have the timer and I'm like, hey, listen, this
here
is what it
goes. Yes.
You know, so it does not have to be. I think this will be a very interesting time to watch as schools are moving correctly, in my opinion, towards banning smartphones from schools. Okay, how does that affect a lot of this debate? And it will be interesting to see what comes of this.
Yes, it will.
Yeah.
So another example is like a 9-year-old with dyslexia. They use text-to-speech for instructions and speech-to-text for answers. And now that they can be at the same pace as their classmates with less frustration with assignments at school.
Yeah. Some really common questions, right? We touched on this one a little bit earlier, but, you know, what is the right age for a device? You know, it depends on your kid. You have to know your kid.
Yep.
Developmentally speaking, I will have a very firm, I'm not even having this conversation if a kid is at 12 or older, but it really also depends on their maturity level.
Correct.
And remember that our kids with ADHD, developmentally speaking, not generally ahead of the curve.
Right. So like some examples, some people are ready at 9 and some are not ready until after high school.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Another question is, should I limit screen time? Yes. Separate productive screen time, like an audiobook or a school tool, from recreational time, because they're different.
Very different. You know, and the device matters here, too.
Right.
You know, in my house, we do not do personal devices. My husband and I have phones. But we don't do personal devices besides that. Mm-hmm. My kids are allowed to watch TV. It has to be a show they're watching together, mm-hmm. or a movie. That is very different than something like YouTube or TikTok that is feeding you short form content that does not have beginning, middle, and end. There's no story there.
Correct.
It's not at all the same thing. We listen to quite a few podcasts at home. We do a lot of like audio content. Mm-hmm. So all devices are not created equal.
Correct. So what if my child resists limits? expect the pushback, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if you involve them in making the rules so they understand the why, they're more likely to accept it.
It was pretty cool. I read a study last year. I read the study. It was run a few years prior, but it was on young adults, college age young adults, and researchers asked for volunteers. They wanted to know how much money it would take for a young college student to willingly give up their cell phone, their smartphone. And the researchers predicted that it would cost a lot of money, like that these students were not going to want to do that. And so they would be like, no, you have to pay me like $10,000 to give it up for like a month. Like they mm-hmm. thought they went really high. And what they found was actually the students that they surveyed, they said, I will pay you to take it away from me because it is such a distraction and it has impacted me in these negative ways that actually to be a part of something where like I get to buy into like a whole bunch of people not having cell phones would be huge.
So like interesting.
Complete opposite of what the prediction was.
Wow.
Yeah. It's wild.
That says a lot.
It says a lot, you know, and those are young college kids. So yeah, you're going to have pushback. If you limit screen time for your kid, they are not going to be like, thank you, mom and dad. I'm so happy that you're putting these boundaries on me and I know you really love me and I understand what you're trying to do for me. No, that is not what they're going to say to you. If they do, please.
Let us know.
Let us know.
That's pretty cool.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, no, my kids already at 7 and 5 are very angry with me per our iPad and cell phone policy that we do not have that in our home. And I expect that to get worse in the next couple of years. The pushback I'm experiencing now, I'm sure, is child's play to the next level for us. And my answer remains no, and it is my house and my home, and I'm allowed to make that decision, and that's what I tell them.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm not afraid of my kids being mad, though.
So balancing the digital and real life. You know, the goal should be using the device as a bridge, help kids develop organizational attention and learning skills when that they can carry into their offline life.
Yes. You know, that's the thing. If we are introducing a device at all, what is the purpose here? And what, just like every other thing we talk about here, what does that mean for this kid after we've introduced it? And how does this make them more independent?
Correct.
Because if the answer is it doesn't, then we really need to be thinking about that.
Right. So a quick start checklist. Maybe choose 2 to 3 assisted features for your child to learn in a month. Mm-hmm. Set your device zones and times. Add school assignments in a shared digital calendar so that you can monitor. Model balance screen use yourself. And review tech habits weekly.
So, you know, those lines of communications, they've got to be open.
Yep.
And, yeah, I guess in conclusion, right, smart devices can be amazing tools. They absolutely need to be used with caution and supervision. Unfettered use of the internet is not good for kids.
Correct.
And we really do, and what you think your kids are doing it on devices and what your kids are actually doing on devices, we need to know that those are quite different.
Yep.
And they are good at getting around those parental controls, and they know. They know how to do it, or they have a friend that knows how to do it, and they're easily influenced by their peers. That's their job right now.
Yep.
It is their developmental job to defy your rules and try to fit in with their peers. That is their job. And it's our job to, you know, nope, my boundary is firm. Okay. Mm-hmm. You can keep coming about my boundary every day, buddy. That's okay.
So some helpful resources, Bookshare, which is www.bookshare.org. They have a lot of books on there. Learning Alley, www.learningalley.org. And then understood.org, which is www.understood.org. They have lots of different things to talk about with technology, assistive devices, assistive technology. There's lots of good articles for parents too. So Maggie, what's happening outside dyslexia?
Oh my goodness. I feel like my old standby, right? It's just, there's so much going on outside dyslexia. This is a really busy month for both, you know, family and then also just as a business. I will plug that we just sent 12 of our employees through a big structured literacy training. They just started the advanced portion of the training this past weekend, and we're getting a lot of good positive feedback from all of our staff on how awesome that went, and I'm getting really excited for what that's going to mean for our business, because we're going to have very consistent training. We're going to have excellent opportunities for teamwork, and I feel really excited about where we are here right now. What's going on with you, Nicole?
So today is Tuesday, so tomorrow, Wednesday. Our kids go to school a little bit earlier because they go to private school. And so tomorrow is meet the teacher. Okay. So we get to meet new teachers tomorrow. And although for our middle, she's going to have the same teacher she had a little bit last year because she's in middle school. Our fourth grader is going to have a brand new teacher who just graduated. So we'll see how that goes. And then our oldest obviously is going to have one of us similar teachers. So it'll all be good, but it's always that we have to go spend a couple hours because now they do pictures during it. And yeah, that's always fun.
Yeah, we do our pictures on like Meet the Teacher too, but it's really kind of easy because we just get in line, take a picture and be done.
I think it's just because it's newer for our school. Yeah. They haven't figured out the process that works the best.
Yeah.
Everybody really stands in front of the door and we all just kind of hang out because nobody knows where to go.
Oh, boy. So. Yeah. Well, we need some traffic control and some, yeah, no, over here, do this, be done.
Exactly.
Okay, come on, guys. This is probably my attitude, but I'm like, I don't really care what my kids' school pictures look like. I really don't that much. Like,
I know.
I don't know.
I do the thing for the grandparents.
Yeah.
Because they really like those.
They really like those.
Yep.
They really, really like those. But mm-hmm. I don't know. To me, they're going to look what they're going to look like. I'm just not sweating it. I'm just not. No. Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. Please follow us on social media and reach out if you have any questions or would like us to discuss a topic. If you do like our show, please be sure to follow and give us a rating on your favorite podcast player. This is how we reach more listeners and we get to help more families. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.